Policy matters.
I'm Jeffrey Hayes, and today on this episode of ASRM Policy Matters, I'm going to be talking with Jesse Loesch, who is ASRM State Public Policy Strategist. They're going to be here to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the Public Affairs Office since the devastating LePage versus Mobile Clinic Incorporated decision. Jesse, welcome back to Policy Matters.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm excited to be here. I actually, to be honest, have never known my job title, but I had to write it down today. So officially, I think it's the Government Affairs Manager. But essentially, what that means is that I do all of our state work.
Right. Well, I want to start by asking you, it's been a busy, difficult time, of course. The Office of Public Affairs has been working hard to protect IVF since this ruling came down. Can you walk us through a little about the advocacy activities that your team has undertaken over the past several weeks?
I will, and thank you for this. I also want to preempt this by saying that, you know, I think we are a small but mighty team up here in the Office of Public Affairs, and we rely a lot on our members. So I will give a little bit, as much as I can, of a sort of abbreviated overview of what we've been doing, but we've also been incredibly lucky and grateful that everybody from, you know, our CEO, Jared Robbins, to our membership in other states have really been nonstop advocating alongside us. So as you said, since this LePage ruling came down in, I want to say late February, if I'm getting my timelines correct, it was a Friday. And we were immediately on, you know, everything from phone calls to Zooms to emails to flights for some of us to respond to this ruling in a lot of ways. So some of that was trying to ensure that our providers and patients impacted directly in Alabama were communicated with. We're able to take action. We're able to find out, you know, some next steps. Some of that was a little more proactive in looking at how we could combat this kind of attacks on IVF on the federal and state level. And some of that was really informational. I think we've done, our office led by Sean Tipton has been doing a lot of educating both, you know, in interviews, we'll talk about that in a second, with the press and with legislators as to how this happened and why it is so important to define a person as a living human being so that embryos and gametes and fertilized eggs are not affected like this. So we are, I think we are 5 people up here in our office. And it was like all hands on deck. You know, we were all like octopusing, lots of hands, lots of decks. So in the immediacy, Sean Tipton went down to our Birmingham office. He and our CEO, Jared Robbins, and I think a number of our staff as well in the Birmingham office met with Javier Becerra, the HHS secretary. They also took part in rallies at the State House in Montgomery.
Yep.
And then we immediately, what we did was issue an action alert to all of our members, so 5,000 some odd members in the states, on a federal bill that we had been working on for a long time, which is the Access to Family Building Act. And the Access to Family Building Act was not done in response to Alabama, meaning that it was a little more proactive, but also became, I think, even more urgent in the face of the Alabama ruling. I will say that even I, who am the one who writes and tracks these action alerts, was shocked at the response. It was both immediate and widespread. We had actions taken by members in every single state in the union. Most of our members, it was within, I think, 12 hours that they took responses, and they kept doing it. So they reached out to their federal elected officials to urge them both to sign on to and bring this to a vote.
Didn't we also at this time, we put out a press release that our ASRM president, Paula Amato, sort of put together that was condemning the decision, pledging to take action?
We did. And again, Dr. Amato, I'm going to shout her out and say, I don't know when she sleeps. You know, she's just constantly working aside from being, you know, a physician who is in practice, is so responsive. So we put that out immediately. Dr. Amato was also doing interviews on the national level, both in print and in person, about the effects of of this legislation. And I also am very grateful to our team, I think, and that includes, you know, leadership, our board, for really looking at the nuances of this legislation. I think what we saw in Alabama, because of the outcry from people, was the state electeds' reactivity to sort of walk this back. And in doing so, the way that they did this, as we're still seeing, is not effective. You know, we're seeing that the clinic in Mobile is closing at the end of the year because they feel like this legislation is not protective enough. We're still seeing questions around what providers are able to do, what patients are able to do with their gametes. And ASRM really led in making our concerns known. You know, I think there was, understandably, a lot of people and a lot of national organizations who got behind this legislation because they wanted to fix it. And that makes a lot of sense. But we were really able to look at this legislation with a critical eye and to say to these elected officials in Alabama, this is not enough. You know, if you really want to protect IVF, which is what you say you want to do, you need to do more and you need to do better. And we, ASRM, really led the way in pushing for that. This legislation passed, which had the, you know.
Well, I was just about to ask you then. What exactly is it that got passed? What was the bill, sort of what did it all entail?
Thank you for walking me back a little bit. I feel like sometimes when you like live in this, you know, you just sort of spout like.
No, not at all. So
Governor Kay Ivey, and I'm gonna get the date wrong, but as always, anyone can reach out to me in our office for information. But Governor Kay Ivey signed into law a few weeks, I want to say, after the LePage decision, a law that protects providers of IVF for practicing, which sounds really well and good. And it had the immediate impact of allowing for the reopening of a lot of clinics, and that's great. However, it doesn't have as many protections for patients, and it also doesn't address the key issue in this LePage decision, which is that a minor child is considered to begin at conception. So for our intents and purposes, that means that if that a fertilized egg or an embryo is legally the same as an 18-year-old, right? Embryos can't vote, they can't drive. But in the state of Alabama, currently, they are treated with the same rights. And that is the crux of the problem that puts our providers and their patients at risk, because it means the patients don't have ownership over their decisions, over their own genetic material.
And didn't they propose a bill, though, to try to, like you said, walk some of it back, but ultimately we could not support it because there were some shortcomings?
Correct.
Happy that it got introduced, but...
So we made this sort of nuanced decision not to oppose the bill, but to communicate both to the legislation and to our members that we did not support it because of these shortcomings, because it did not go far enough to support patients and it did not go far enough to protect or to combat this personhood language.
So we're seeing then with all this, even though we can't really support it, we're still seeing, though, generally a good outpouring of support.
We are
right,
seeing
from across the country. I mean, there's high levels of engagement, as you were stating, about, you know, our action alerts and our posts, and we even had, you know, we were even on the floor of the State of the Union address.
We were.
So I mean, I would you say that indicates a high level of focus on this particular issue or set of issues?
Absolutely. I think that the national landscape right now is focused on IVF, and that does a number of things. I think it opens a window for policymakers to both ensure protections for and expansions for IVF coverage. We're seeing in protected states a number of measures to expand coverage for PGT testing, for the Medicaid population, for fertility preservation, for various non-iatrogenic conditions. And I think that's really positive because, you know, I work in government, and I'm going to say something that, you know, my former government boss would throw something at me for. This is a sexy issue, and every legislator wants to attach their name to a sexy issue that's in a spotlight, right? And so we're trying to, I think, not lose that momentum, but we're also very aware of the fact that legislators are not the experts, right? And so we want to make sure that what they do is done well. And that's where ASRM really shines, because we can call in provider, you know, we can call in our members from any state to talk to their representatives, and they are so willing to do that. And I think that's been the thing that moves the needle. You know, I've had the privilege to be on calls now with legislators and members in, I'm not a math girl, but like maybe 13 states so far, just since late February, and they're superstars. You know, we can call in our membership with a drop of a hat to meet with their elected officials, and we barely have to prep them because they know. But we are also, I will say to anybody listening and willing to get involved, we will prep no matter what. So we're very excited and we're very grateful to our ASRM membership.
Absolutely. And before we run out of time today, though, I want to ask you, while I have you, what's next for the Office of Public Affairs?
Going on vacation. No, kidding. We're not. We have National Infertility Awareness Week, NIAW, coming up in May. So we have a toolkit that's on our website with resources for people to get involved in various ways. Did I get the date wrong? May 14th. No. Help me out.
April 21st to 27th is National Infertility Week.
Like, yeah. And I'm going to introduce that voice in a hot second. So National Infertility Awareness Week is the end of it. It's coming up. So please check out our website for those resources. And then we have our Federal Advocacy Day with Resolve on May 14th. And I think we are only growing. Last year was, I think we had the most participation so far, and we want to beat that. So if you would like to get involved, if you can get involved, please reach out. Also on our website and on our social media, we are sending out action alerts that are targeted both to people's specific states and national. And we're also collecting people's stories as to how these legislations are affecting them. So I know we're running out of time. I see you checking your clock, but I just want to introduce that voice that you all heard, our latest colleague, Anna Hovey, who has joined our DC office as our member engagement specialist, because we really know how important it is to have our members engaged. And you know, we've got an Anna to do that. So Anna, we're really glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah, as Jesse said, I am the new member engagement specialist at ASRM. I'm sure it has been for everyone in the field. Things have been busy, to say the least, since the LePage decision came down. So if you're a member and you've not heard from me yet, you will soon. We have some exciting advocacy engagement opportunities coming down the pipeline, and I am happy to join the team.
Fantastic. And also, you can donate to support our work by visiting our Advocacy in Action Fund on the ASRM website, www.asrm.org. Jesse, Anna, thank you so much for taking time out of your, I know, the hectic schedule that's been going on with the Office of Public Affairs to be on Policy Matters today.
It's always a nice break to get to come on and talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Until next time, I'm Jeffrey Hayes, and this is Policy Matters.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of ASRM and its affiliates. These are provided as a source of general information and are not a substitute for consultation with a physician.